First, we're checking in on some of the big stories in national politics. President Trump and his team are still talking a lot about the Mueller report after its release last week. Herman Cain is withdrawing from consideration for a seat at the Federal Reserve Board. And Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson is planning a bill that would tighten the standards for immigrants hoping to qualify for asylum status here in the U.S. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you think an idea like Senator Johnson's to make it more difficult to claim asylum is a good plan? Should we limit the number of asylum claims or use more resources to process the claims we do have? And which party's message on immigration do you think will reach out to voters in the 2020 elections? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Seungmin Kim is a White House reporter for The Washington Post. Seungmin, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Let's start with the reaction from the Trump administration post-Mueller report. When Attorney General Barr put out that initial summary, that four-page deal, President Trump claimed it was total exoneration. Now we've had the full and redacted report last week. What have we been hearing from President Trump and his team?
Well, the president and his inner circle are still claiming that it is total exoneration, which we know from the report itself is not true. The attorney, both the attorney general and the special counsel Robert Mueller himself, have made it clear that particularly on that obstruction of justice question, there are still a lot of he just could not reach a determination one that the special counsel just could not reach a determination one way or the other on that issue. And actually, Mr. Mueller detailed at least 10 episodes of potential obstruction of justice that he had investigated as part of his lengthy conclusion. So the president, especially after initially that report or the Barr letter was released, had been in a really good mood. He because he did see this as sort of lifting this big cloud over his presidency. And similarly, Kellyanne Conway, who is the White House counselor, came out and talked to us at the White House the same day that the redacted report was released and said, this is the best day of his presidency. But if you look at what the president's been saying, and also if you look at the president's tweets and his continued anger towards the Mueller report, you do see that he is still clearly frustrated with the toll that this investigation took on him, or that's what his allies tell us, and that this still and that there is a lot of damning information out there that was laid out in detail by the special counsel. Now, we're really in a phase right now where the president and his administration is really battling with Democrats in Congress who have just ramped up the subpoenas, ramped up the requests for information. And I thought the president's comments today were really striking when before he left to go to Atlanta for a summit on opioids, he told the White House reporters on the lawn that on the White House lawn that we are fighting all the subpoenas. We knew that kind of defiant attitude was coming, but it was really remarkable to hear it straight from the president's mouth.
Right. And some Democrats have responded saying the president is stonewalling, a Watergate allusion there, I think. And then there's questions among Democrats about how much investigating should we do? Should we be talking about impeachment at this stage? What are we hearing now from the House Democratic majority?
Well, when it comes to that question of impeachment, they are so divided on this issue right now. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, has been really trying to tamp down the impeachment talk for actually weeks now, saying it's too premature, let's wait till we see the report. Now that the report is out, she is still exercising a lot of caution. So Nancy Pelosi and her leadership team feel that they are on solid ground, seeking more information and continuing their investigations. So, for example, you're going to continue to hear calls from the appropriate chairman, Nancy Pelosi, other members of her leadership, saying the full unredacted report should be sent to Congress for their review, which is something that so far the administration has not been willing to provide them for various reasons. Also, the Jerry Nadler, who is the House Judiciary Committee chairman, is continuing more of the committee's investigation into these episodes of potential obstruction of justice that was laid out in the Mueller report. So they feel fine about investigation, but it's really impeachment that has stymied the caucus. I mean, they've already had a lot of internal discussions this week about how people feel on the impeachment question. You have various House members saying there's already enough evidence here for us to start impeachment proceedings. And I thought it was really, it was almost a split screen of sorts yesterday when the House Speaker is up in New York speaking at the Time Magazine summit saying, I am not there yet when it comes to the question of impeachment, while one of our own prominent House Chairman, Maxine Waters, who has long been a supporter of impeachment, is, you know, rattling off a very lengthy Twitter thread listing out the reasons for why impeachment proceedings need to begin right away. So it is a very difficult task facing Nancy Pelosi right now.
Before we move on from Mueller report fallout, one more item. Back in 2017, Press Secretary Sarah Sanders told White House reporters that countless FBI agents supported the president's decision to fire FBI Director James Comey. She repeated that sentiment. We now know that she told investigators those comments weren't based on anything. Here she is talking about that recently on Fox News.
I acknowledge that I had a slip of the tongue when I used the word countless, but it's not untrue. And certainly you just echoed exactly the sentiment. And the point that I was making is that a number of both current and former FBI agents agreed with the president.
As a White House reporter yourself, how do you match up these statements?
I think that, I mean, Sarah Sanders has clearly come under a lot of questioning for her credibility, particularly in the aftermath of the report. And she was questioned on some of the morning news shows the day after the redacted report was released. And it does, people who have been around the block much longer than I have in terms of covering administration say this has been unprecedented in terms of credibility. And, you know, credibility, you know, you live and die by your credibilities. So that's what other folks have said. Clearly, though, in her interviews after the report was released, she still was saying this was only a slip of the tongue. And I'm sorry if I'm not, you know, quote, like a robot, like Democratic robots, you know, that she has to just repeat certain phrases over and over. So that will be another something to continue to watch as well.
It's our weekly roundup of national politics. Soongmin Kim is with us from The Washington Post. Let's move on now. Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson, chair of the Homeland Security Committee, is planning a legislation that would tighten the rules around seeking asylum. What kind of changes is he looking for?
So he's been really targeting a couple of things that Republicans both in Congress and the administration have wanted to target for some time. So first of all, you've heard the president repeatedly decry so-called catch and release. So basically what happens is that minors who come to the United States can only be held under a 1997 legal settlement for 20 days, and then they have to be released. Often they are released to a sponsor elsewhere in the United States. But 20 days is a short time, obviously not a long enough time to process a lot of these asylum claims. And also, so if you're, for example, if you're a child traveling alone, or if you are a parent who has traveled with a minor, unless you want to be separated, you tend to often get released alongside your child after the 20 days. But Republicans such as Senator Johnson have been looking into this issue and say, obviously, you have to discourage the illegal immigration. You have to, and that means deporting people and removing people who have to be removed. And it's difficult to do that when asylum claims aren't processed quickly, and a lot of people have been released before their claims are processed. So part of his legislation that he's been working on is to change the law so that migrants who arrive at the southern border who have pending asylum claims are detained longer. He says that'll expedite the process, and also that basically the standards for claiming asylum should be tougher. For example, in the asylum process, the big first major step that applicants have to cross is so-called credible fear standard. I mean, do they have this level of fear of going back to their home country? And nearly 90% of asylum seekers clear that first hurdle. Senator Johnson says that's an indication that perhaps the current asylum standards are a little too lax. And he says he would like to see that tighten to more like maybe perhaps a 50% level.
In my limited understanding of asylum law, Soongmin, I understand the U.S. kind of matches up with international law when it comes to standards for asylum. Would Senator Johnson's legislation kind of uncouple us from international definitions of a refugee of credible fear?
Well, you laid out another one of the obstacles in drafting this because asylum law is so tightly tied to international law. So, for example, when the administration said last year during the whole family separation issue that asylum seekers have to arrive at a specific port of entry on the southern border to be able to apply for asylum, experts in international law said no, like under, you know, essentially international law, asylum law, like you can apply for asylum anywhere on U.S. soil, essentially. So that shows one major hurdle into accomplishing the changes that Senator Johnson and other Republicans are seeking. But another challenge is obviously, clearly, is there the political will to get this done? Trump is pushing Congress. He has obviously shown an inclination to act on his own if Congress doesn't help. But this is an issue that has stymied Congress for years, and I don't see that changing anytime soon, even with efforts from Senator Johnson and others to try to fix the system.
We continue our conversation with Seungmin Kim, White House reporter for The Washington Post. We're rounding up some of the top stories in national politics. Go to your calls now on immigration issues and Senator Ron Johnson's plan, proposed legislation that would tighten asylum standards, make it harder for people to clear some of the early stages in the asylum process. Owen is on the line in Wauwega. Owen, hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call this evening, Rob. This is a good step on the PR spectrum that Senator Johnson is working on. The thing that I don't understand that really puzzles me is a lot of Republicans hire immigrants, and a lot of the immigrants the Republicans hire might not have even crossed through an asylum-seeking process. So I don't understand if they're actually trying to halt or slow down the flow of immigrants into the country. Shouldn't they look at who's employing and why they're employing these people, and where the money gets sent when it goes back to foreign countries? Because if that money's going back across to another border, obviously those people have a reason to send the money back there.
Owen, thanks for the call. And Seungmin, Owen highlights a divide in the Republican Party. There's been a business-oriented pro-immigration wing of the party for a long time. They are not in the lead right now in the Republican Party, it would seem.
Definitely. I mean, I've been covering this issue for years, and there has always been the internal tension within the GOP over whether to allow in more immigrants or fewer immigrants. And now, obviously, the Republican Party is united on the fact that, you know, they need to take efforts to reduce illegal migration and that there should be more border security. But on whether just to simply allow more people in, there has been this big split, because you do have the sort of the Chamber of Commerce wing of the party, sort of the establishment Republicans, who believe that more labor really does benefit the broader economy, the broader labor market. And they point to various agricultural sectors, or what we call kind of the low-skilled workers, and where they say there is a lack of workers and they need people in those positions to be able to keep the economy humming and running. But that has been really that's been resisted by the likes of former Attorney General Sessions, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, in the past, particularly when he was a senator. But you do see that view gaining more influence, kind of brought with the Republican Party. So that is a divide that is going to persist. It's kind of been on the back burner for now, but clearly a split that exists.
Thanks for that call, Owen. We'll go to Sue with us in Door County now. Sue, hello.
Hi. I don't even have the words to express what I feel about someone in the United States is going to determine what credible fear is, and trying to lower the amount of people who reach that level by 50%. We live in a country that has a judicial system. We spent 9 years living in Central America. I brought my children up there, and it's a totally different system. One of the problems with, I think, Central America is that their judicial system does not work. So for us living a very safe life to decide who is truly in fear and who is not, and I can imagine who they would put on that board to decide that, somehow a humanitarian thrust has to be put there.
Sue, thanks a lot for that call. Seungmin, how do we determine it? It is kind of subjective. How do we determine credible fear as part of that asylum claim?
Well, a lot of these determinations are done through the immigration courts, which points to another really significant problem in the immigration system, in the fact that the immigration courts, which are not kind of your standard courts, they are courts actually administered by the Justice Department, are just perpetually backlogged. I mean, a case that kind of gets started right now, the wait could be upwards of several years, 5 years, before it gets adjudicated, which is a significant problem. And that's been kind of one of the changes to the immigration system that both Democrats and Republicans have easily agreed on, that there does need to be more immigration judges going through these cases. Democrats feel, obviously, that more judges could help resolve cases in a lot of them in the asylum seekers' favor more quickly. And Republicans also say that this gives a chance to go through the claims a lot more quickly and not just have these migrants kind of detained indefinitely in these places. However, the president's actually been kind of interesting on this. He has said several times that he doesn't really understand the need for more immigration judges, but he's actually been the outlier on this one. And I think that any kind of big actual bipartisan attempts to change the immigration system and deal with this issue on the border will almost always include a lot more immigration judges.
Thanks for that call. Time for one more call on this issue. Jim is with us in Watertown. Jim is not with us in Watertown. We'll move on then. We're talking to Soonmin Kim from The Washington Post, looking at some of the top stories in national news. A related issue, though, Soonmin, President Trump ordering the State Department and Homeland Security to come up with a way to deal with people overstaying their visas while in the U.S. What kind of things are they looking at?
So they have the steps that they took this week are pretty preliminary for now, because they obviously some of the more dramatic steps that they have taken in the Trump administration to target various immigration issues have been to outright deny visas. And you saw that with the various iterations of the travel ban early on in his presidency that was litigated multiple times, ultimately settled by the Supreme Court. But what this does is the president is just kind of taking a preliminary step, directing the State Department, the Department of Homeland Security to actually just find ways to combat the visa overstay issue. And a lot of times we look at illegal migration as the people physically arriving on the border, but about the statistic has generally been about 40% of all the people who live here without legal status are the result of visa overstays. So they came here legally, but they overstayed their limited time that they had to be here in the country with status. So that's why the president has directed his administration to look at issues. Immigrant rights advocates say that, okay, so this executive order, this directive, there's not perhaps a lot of substance here, a lot of action here, but it could indicate that tougher actions would be coming down the road, and that's leaving them a little bit nervous about what those exactly what those actions would be.
Let's move on to another issue or two before we run out of time, Soonmin. Herman Cain, President Trump, one of his nominees proposed for the Federal Reserve Board, says he's out. President Trump says Herman Cain withdrew his nomination, asked not to be nominated. He was a businessman, pizza company founder, presidential candidate a while back. What are we hearing about why he is out of the running here?
Well, he's done a couple of interviews that have indicated that maybe he sees a limited opportunities in the public sector than he would in the private sector. But clearly, the issue here was the opposition from the president's own party, which namely Senate Republicans. As Herman Cain's name started getting floated around for the open Federal Reserve position, a lot of Republicans started to get a little bit more queasy about the prospects of having to vet him, having to confirm him, and giving him that seal of approval by a Republican-led Senate. And actually, there ended up being 4 Senate Republicans who indicated or said outright that they would not vote for him. Mitt Romney, the freshman senator, but also more well-known as the 2012 Republican presidential candidate who happened to run against Herman Cain for the Republican nomination that year, said, "You need someone who would bring stability to the economy for the Federal Reserve, and I don't believe, and make the board less partisan," and he did not believe Herman Cain would be that person. Other Republican senators such as Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Cory Gardner of Colorado, and Kevin Cramer of North Dakota, who was interesting because he is a staunch Trump ally, all expressed concerns and indicated that they could not at this point support him for the Federal Reserve, which ultimately doomed his nomination.
And just briefly, in our last few moments, Stephen Moore, conservative pundit, also up for an open position. What are we hearing from Republican senators, if anything, about him?
So the fight over his nomination, or his pending nomination, since it isn't official
right
at this point, has gotten a little bit conflated with Herman Cain. So the Republicans don't have as much of a problem with Stephen Moore, at least for now, as they did with Herman Cain. But clearly that could change once Republicans start vetting his record more closely. And Mr. Moore has had a series of controversial statements come out over the last several days about his writings in the past in conservative publications or in various speeches. Democrats will do their best to highlight all those controversial remarks. Democrats by themselves don't have the power to defeat Trump's nominee, since it only needs a simple majority in the Senate, and the Senate is controlled by Republicans. But we shall wait and see whether if there is concern that it grows enough among Senate Republicans for Mr. Moore's nomination to get derailed.
Sungmin, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's Sungmin Kim, White House reporter at The Washington Post. She was with us for a weekly roundup of some of the top stories in national politics. Still time for you to share your thoughts on the idea of making it harder to seek asylum here in the United States. You can email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us @CentralTimeWPR.